Greetings, loved ones. We welcome each of you around the Word of God this morning. It's a blessing to be able to gather together. We can feel the presence of God's Spirit, and we trust that He will be with us throughout the day. Now, many have come today. We know it's a special day as we look forward to the wedding this afternoon, Brother Tom and Sister Patricia. But in this morning, prior to that, we want to spend our time worshiping and honoring our great God. We want to be able to concentrate our hearts and thoughts upon the Word of God, that He can bless us, that we can be encouraged and strengthened in faith. Appreciate having Brother Mike Bauman from the Mansfield congregation with us this morning here on the pulpit. Know that he would covet your prayerful support, and as we pray for the Word of God, we have the assurance of His Word that when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. We trust in that promise today.
My heart is in total agreement with everything that Brother Bill said. Rather than repeating everything, I would and could very easily just say amen to that which has been said. And with that, let us turn to the Word of God for our first reading. And the Word of the Lord has opened before us in the prophet Ezekiel. My eyes fell first, there's two chapters and they're both on the same page, one is very short, fell on chapter 15, and I'd like to read that for our first reading. Ezekiel chapter 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will a man take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire had devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. Let us continue reading for our second reading in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. In the Gospel of John, in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. for his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither again to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship, when shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such as worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Had any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look unto the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the sayings of the woman, which testified, He told me all things I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode 2 days, and many believed because of his own words. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'd like to stop reading with verse 42. Brothers and sisters and friends, the beginning of chapter 4 is a journey that the Lord Jesus Christ took as he walked upon this earth, and it was literally walking. And the word tells us here that he needed to go through Samaria. In the first reading we had, was from the prophet Ezekiel. Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied to the 10 tribes and to the 2 tribes after the division. The 10 tribes held for their capital Samaria and Bethel. And the prophets of old prophesied unto them and brought the word of the Lord to them to have them turn to God because they worshipped other gods. They departed from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they worshipped idols. They went into captivity, the 10 tribes, and never returned again as a whole. They became mixed, and therefore they were not pure anymore, and the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, went into captivity for 70 years, and that's what we read here in our first reading from the prophet Ezekiel. He went with them to Babylon to become their spiritual contact, but given the opportunity to repent and to return. God was going to change his mind yet if they would but turn to God, and they didn't. And therefore they went into captivity for 70 years, and that generation died in Babylon. And the next generation then was allowed to go back to Judea. They rebuilt the temple again. And in the 15th chapter that we have read, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel and to bring them the last opportunity to turn and not have to go to captivity. Some of them were there already, but they did not follow the Lord's leading and guiding. And beloved, what was the reason? Why did God work so diligently, so mercifully, so graciously with his people? If we read the Old Testament, God should have given up on them a long time ago, long before this. You know what it was? Through generation after generation, there needed to be an unbroken promise that God has promised to all mankind. Jesus Christ was going to come out of the 2 tribes, and God was not going to give up on them. So you and I this morning would have an eternal hope after this life ends. And it is Jesus Christ that brought this to us. Therefore, the Samaritans and the Jews did not have full communication and full fellowship because they were a mixed people. And this is what we read here. The woman was a Samaritan, yet she needed to drink water. Who among us this morning hasn't had a drink of water? The essentials of water. Jesus also, when he walked upon this earth, came and he was thirsty. Think of the Son of God came from heaven above, took upon himself flesh and blood, not because he needed it. He needed to understand you and me this morning. He was thirsty, but he had nothing to draw the water from. Didn't even have his own well. He had to ask an outcast for a drink of water. Do you believe he understands you this morning? Believe he is qualified to sit at the right hand of God and to intercede for you and for me? I believe with all my heart. Beloved, we have read in the first reading, the first verse, I'll reread it again. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, beloved, the word of God, we can expect this morning without exception. In faith and in confidence, I stand before you this morning. I can bring you very little this morning, but I can bring you an assurance that God is going to bless every one of us here this morning because we have read the word of God. And beloved, if it was recorded and a record would be made, I believe for this day it would be said of us, and the word of the Lord came unto those people that were gathered together in Junction on this first day of the week. And oh, what a blessed people it is who is in possession of the word of God. Where else could you have gone but to come to church for the word of God, isn't it? I know, and I'm a living witness of it, that you can find God in other places besides the church. You can find God with a telescope, without a telescope. You can find God revealed in astronomy. You can find God reveals himself in science, in nature, in history. God reveals himself. No question about it. But beloved, where do you find and where do you get the information from? What is your standing and my standing between God and man? You need to come to the Word of God, isn't it? I'm not going to go into your experience, into your life, and you know that, but I'm assured that you fared the same way. In my youthful years, my father was a believer, and you can imagine what it was like then for those of you that are my age. Yes was yes and no was no. 95% of all questions were settled with two words. Children, this is not for believers. I know you're not a believer, but I am. I'm responsible for you, and it's no. When I became old enough, I knew better than that, to go against that to which my father said no and yes. It spared me a lot of heartaches. But don't ever think that the devil left me alone. I could make my confession that I made to the elder brother right here. But don't ever think the devil didn't have a hold of me. You know what he said to me? Mike, you're a pretty good boy. After a while, he came to me and said, Mike, you're better than some of the members are in church. Then after that, he wasn't even satisfied with that. As long as I took that hook and sinker, he said to me, you can do without the church. Because of what they're doing, you're better than that. But then one day, the brother that stood where I'm standing just opened the word, read, never meditated on it, but read, and it rang in my ears. The word of God showed me that I was lost. And I still remember the word today, what he read. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap.
He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It was the word of God that said to me, what have you sown to the Spirit? You have sown to the flesh, and the end of your life is corruption. Beloved, was it not the word of God that awoke you and brought you to the foot of the cross? Where can you go but to the word of God that is promised, that is, it is living. It is a well. Just like the water you drink this morning, it is a well that springs into life eternal. Oh, this word has been challenged and tore apart and persecuted for those that obeyed by it. And beloved, it is as fresh today as the day men of old spoken by the inspiration of God. Just like it came to Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came unto me. And he asked the question about the vine. There's not one of us here that doesn't know a vine. God says, what is the use of a vine? Of other woods you can make things out of. You can hang your clothes on. You can hang objects on. You can shape them. You can do whatever. But what about the vine? Just burn it. That's what Israel was. Oh, what a picture. And beloved, note that Ezekiel did not change that word. He did not sweeten it a little bit or even made it more bitter. Just what God said. In the last and latter days in which we live, let us remember, brothers and sisters, the responsibility that we have. The church of God, and the church alone, has the authority from God to proclaim the word of God. No additions and no subtractions. But the church has not been authorized. Let me emphasize that. The church has not been authorized to change the word of God. In times past, the devil has tried to stamp out the word of God, and he knows that doesn't work. He is slyer now and smarter. He's trying to get us to abide by the word of God, but just change it a little bit, and a little more, and a little more. And beloved, no one has been authorized to change the word of God. And we, his servants, need to speak the word of God as the Lord gives it to us. Oh, what a privilege. And forgive me if I say it again, if I say it too much. What a privilege it is to come and to stand before you and to open as a tradition what has been given to our forefathers, to open the word of God and stay with it. If I would have to look, and I say that probably about for those of you that hear me, especially those two or three that came from Mansfield, how often I say it, if I would have to choose the word of God for this occasion, I would have not chosen this word. And I'm thankful, though, for your faithfulness to stay with that, to open the word of God and speak the same. Beloved, when the word of God disappears in a life, in a church, in a nation, in the world, what's the alternative? Thirsting, dying from water, darkness against light, the word of God is compared with. If you don't believe it, go to any history book and look up the word dark ages. The word of God disappeared close to the year 500 AD. And beloved, for how long can it be? Let us take it seriously, every brother and every sister. And I want to speak especially to the young people here this morning. Do not deviate from the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. And then I give you the assurance, you can stay with the church. The church that holds the Word of God will never be defeated. Darkness will never set in your life. How long did the Dark Ages last? Don't take it lightly for a moment, that in 50 years it's over with, or in 100 years it's over with. Not at all. You know that it lasted 1,000 years. That's a long time. The world went backwards because the Word of God disappeared. It can happen again. It will happen again, beloved, if we live in the last and latter days, but it won't last 1,000 years. The end of the Dark Ages came with the translation of the Bible and the movable printing press, when the Word of God came back into the people's hands. Is the end of the Dark Ages. That's not what we need to proclaim, but I need to remind you of it. And brothers and sisters, we're here for a wedding today. And I know this afternoon, just like this morning, a word will be read. It will be given to the couple and to all of us. It will be the Word of God. It will be the Word of God that will hold this couple together, that held their parents together and their grandparents and so on down the line. It will hold your marriage and my marriage together. Let me give you the last greatest challenge the Word of God was given. About 100 years ago, most of you sitting here don't even remember anymore that this system just went under some less than 20 years ago. When Marx and Engels was preached and misery was found on the globe worldwide, these two people came together, so-called some of the wisest men that were walked this earth on that day, in those days, when they came together and they wanted to relieve that misery, and the Word of God and Jesus Christ and God stood in their way. And two of Marx and Engels' followers proclaimed their doctrine in London, England. And wherever people were together, they were there. And one of them took a box and stood on it in front of a drunk that was lying in the gutter with a tore suit wet. He stood on that box and he said, "Gentlemen, if you get rid of the Bible, of the Word of God, and embrace communism, we will all be comrades, and communism will put a new suit on this man." Then he asked for challenges. An old gray-haired gentleman stepped up and said, "Move over. Let me get on this box for a moment." He said, "You see this man here? If the Word of God will be put to use, and we will obey it and live it, and this man will, Jesus Christ will put a new man into this suit. And we will all be brothers and sisters." How mighty, how powerful is the Word of God, brothers and sisters? What is the record that we have of God's Word? The first record that we ever have where God spoke is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3. And it's 4 words in English, 3 words in German. I don't know any other languages. Did God speak English or German? That's not important. Oh, how many people would like to lay claim to that? It's not. That's not important at all. Whatever language he spoke, we have the translation of it. The 3 words were, "Let there be light." That's the first recorded words that we have that God spoke. Think of the power of the Word of God. The result was, and there was light. What can be done? What would life be like, beloved, if there was no light this morning? Both the sun in the sky and the light of the Word of God, the living water, what would life be like? Think of the power of the Word of God. Just four words. And beloved, Jesus Christ here says to this woman of ill repute. That's where some of these women gathered together. And isn't that almost like reading today's paper, or if you go to work tomorrow morning, if you're not finding someone like that, go and get your husband. Jesus knows all about it, doesn't he? Go and get your husband. She says, I have no husband. Oh, beloved, that's the same Jesus to you, my dear friend, outside of the fold of Jesus Christ that sees into your heart. Think of what he offers you. Face him. Be thankful that he asked you. Acknowledge. He's got the answer. He's got the answer to the Word of God. You will never thirst again. What an offer. Can you see why God worked so hard with the Jews? Why he was so patient and merciful? So you and I would have Jesus Christ to proclaim today. I asked the question already. What would life be like if you'd have had no water to drink? Physical water. Wouldn't last very long, would you? What would life be like if there was no light outside? The sun wouldn't be shining, if you say. There would be no sun today. Life would cease to exist. What about the light of the Word of God? Let me, in closing, take us all back without leaving our seat. Brothers, sisters, friends, to a meeting that I probably have to construct a little bit, that took place many years ago. See if I can find it. I don't know where it took place, but let's see what went on in your great grandfather's meeting, and what was their concern for themselves and for you this morning and for me when they put together the Zion's Heart. You know, I wasn't there. Could you imagine, though, when they came across this hymn, that they said, we better put that in our Zion's Heart for ourselves, because I have experienced it. Word of life, the fountain flowing purely from the throne above, life and strength to him imparting who accepts his word in love. Those were the original believers that parted from the church that walked in darkness. Could you see the brother before he left, when his wife said to him, whatever his name was, make sure hymn 176 is included. Remember when the Word found us. Remember how he walked in darkness. How you walked in darkness. How I walked in darkness. Make sure it will keep the light coming from heaven above and the water flowing purely from God above. Make sure you put that into the Zion's Heart. And as a blossom that is blighted from the sun's own heat severe, thirsting in the barren valley, stoops to drink the waters clear.
What were earth without thee? A question. What would the world be without the Word of God? Just turn back to the dark ages and read history. That's what it would be like. But a veil in dark despair, heaven would have no joys to cheer me if I could not find thee there. Let me say again, brothers and sisters, do not depart from the Word of God. To those of us that are older, that are my age and older, it won't be long. We'll be laying down the armor. We'll be laying down the cross. We want to give you that which our forefathers have given us. Visit with your grandfathers and grandmothers, young people. Make use while you have them with you. Sit down and speak with them. And please, don't depart from the Word of God. Think of what would death be without the Word of God. Can you think of an eternal night where there is no hope? No hope, absolutely. No hope of daylight. That's what this world would be. That's what death would be. And all of us are going to die without the Word of God. Heaven's joy is revealed in it, but also the sinner's doom. Can you find God in science? Can you find Him in nature? Can you find Him looking through the telescope and through the microscope? Yes. If you want to admit it, really, yes, you can find Him. But the Bible, beloved, the words of Jesus Christ especially, that gives us the invitation today to come and to drink. Whether we're believers or unbelievers, we need to come to the well that so purely flows from heaven above, that will settle and care for all your problems that you have and will ever have. In closing, I think most of us know that the Apostolic Christian Church did not start on this continent with someone that was converted and came from Europe where our church started. It was started with people that were over here before we came. There was a count, and you know it. Let me just introduce you real short, that had some Mennonites brought to the state of New York. And they had problems in their congregation. And big problems, evidently. They sent to a man that they have heard of that knows how to set things right and to solve problems. And his name was Samuel Frederick. And they pleaded with Samuel to come to America to settle their problems. Samuel Frederick was probably too old or too busy, whatever it was. They had a meeting, the few elder brothers that existed then, and they determined that Benedict Wynette was to be ordained as an elder and to look into the Mennonites' problems. Benedict Wynette came to New York. Did he come as a lawyer? No. He had some psychology or psychiatry, how to settle problems with people? No. Did he go to a seminary? Should have been Samuel Frelick who had that. No. What did he do when he came there, beloved? Let us take example of our forefathers. He pleaded with the Mennonites if he could have this spot here. He quickly determined that they were not born again believers. And he went and he preached the Word of God to them. That settled their problems almost 200 years ago, or at least 180. Brothers and sisters and friends, whatever your problem may be, God has the answer in your word. Make no mistake about it. Rudolf Werkler, the first convert, as an elder or bishop, left the church, repented and converted. That settled the problem. It's still that way. Pray for the Word of God to go forth. And beloved, the responsibility we need to lay upon our young brothers and sisters, upon our young people,
that they had. And for a long, long time, it was my desire to meet one of the Werklers, the offsprings of Rudolf Werkler. A little over a month ago, it was my privilege to be in their house. And I said to their sons, Scott and Eric, pull up your chair a little closer. Do you realize the responsibility that you have for what you have inherited? Do you realize you need to keep the word of God? They showed me all the descendants of that one man, 14,000. Oh, I wish they were all members of our church, and you know they are not. Someone, somewhere, many of them left the word of God, which saved their great-great-grandfather, which solved his problems. Beloved, whatever it may be, Jesus says to you and to me, come and drink, and you will never thirst again. These are the words of God. May the Lord add his blessing to his word, like to leave room to another brother.
Scripture comes to my mind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're a large group assembled this morning. We've been blessed, I believe, every one of us. There might be some here who could identify with the experience of the brother. Really didn't get so far out into sin, but needed a Savior. There are others of us who can identify with the woman at the well. We did everything wrong, and we too needed a Savior. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have heard the word of God. I believe that we as believers were exhorted to holiness, to look into the word and to look into our heart and to hold fast to that which is precious. If we find ourselves wavering, loved ones, we were reminded, where else can we go? If we find ourselves in temptation, we were reminded there's help available. For every unconverted soul, regardless of age, this morning, loved ones, the call has gone out to repentance. And we were reminded, and I'm thankful to God, that we not look for a shortcut. May the Lord bless his word that none of us will come short, that every one of us will be found as the five wise virgins when the bridegroom comes, that we'll be ready to meet him. And let's sing in that hymn, which the brother reminded us, I don't know the number, about the word of life as our closing hymn for our morning service.